Welcome back to another episode of the Marketing Munchies, where we satisfy your need for marketing knowledge in 30 minutes or less. Once again, I'm joined by the lovely LJ. Welcome, LJ.
Thank you, Matt. Hello again.
Yeah, we've made it back for week two, so that's great. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about the power of combining content marketing with SEO. So obviously, we're probably two good people to talk about that. I'm a content marketer. You're an SEO specialist, digital marketing specialist. So LJ, why don't you kick us off a little bit with, a brief explanation of what SEO is and, I guess, the role that content marketing plays in achieving great results through SEO.
Yeah, definitely. So SEO is basically search engine optimization, which is literally doesn't explain anything.
Yeah.
So simplest explanation for SEO is getting on the first page when people are searching something on Google or any other search engine like Bing. I don't know if anyone uses Bing.
Yeah.
But if you do, it's the same. It's called SEO. It doesn't happen naturally. Well, sometimes in very rare moments it does, but you need to work and follow procedures given and policies given by Google to actually achieve that ability to be on the first page of Google search results. So basically, a brief history about SEO. Back in the day, SEO started with no guidelines. So everyone with a little bit of knowledge of digital marketing at the time, they were like, all right, so let's do this. People started doing what we call black hat SEO, which is everything against the policy, so dodgy stuff. And then they would just build backlinks, which is having a link to your website on another website. There were no regulations at the time. People would just add keywords hidden in very small font or even white on white background. And it was a mess. Unqualified websites would suddenly rank on the first page, whereas good quality content wouldn't be even visible. So what Google has been doing throughout the years is just updating their algorithm. So you will hear a lot of SEO people talking about algorithm changes and core algorithm change, which is a good thing because it really works on the quality of the websites making it to the first page. So as I said, it was mainly backlinks, keywords, etc. in the past. And then Google was like, particularly in the past few years, they were like, no, we want to focus on three things, content, user experience, and backlinks. So that's the simplified version of what they want to have on SEO. And they came up with something called EAT, which is not what we eat, but it's EEAT, which talks about experience, expertise, authority, and trustworthiness. So your website should have all that. And just recently, just 2 days ago, actually Google has announced that there is an ongoing algorithm update talking about the EAT factor, which is basically focusing on content. I can't say it enough because even if you have a website with a good number of backlinks, which gives you the authority. That's why we create those backlinks. But you still want the content. The content has to be meaningful. And if you guys just go and listen to the first podcast, we touched on that a little bit, where it's very important that we develop good content that answers people's questions, provides value. Because at the end of the day, if I'm pretending or saying that I'm an expert in something, my website should reflect that. And that's why it's very important that you take care of that, because we have seen it in so many instances where it's a new website with awesome content that you have provided. And they are suddenly ranking on the first page, even if it didn't have that authority or heaps of backlinks. So I just, whenever I talk to clients now, I can't emphasize enough on the importance of content and the quality of that content.
I think as a copywriter, you know, I've noticed a big change in even the briefs that I get from the SEO agencies, digital agencies. You know, when I first started, you know, over 10 years ago, it was, these are the keywords, stuff as many keywords into this copy as you can. try and make it look somewhat natural, but just make sure that all the keywords are in there and as many times as you can fit them in.
Yeah.
And now there's much less emphasis on the amount of time. Obviously, the keywords need to be in the copy, but it's more about how strategically they're placed, you know, getting them into subheadings, getting them into the title, and only using them where it's really natural to use them.
Exactly.
And not, you know, just creating paragraphs for the sake of getting, you know, the keyword in another 4 or 5 times, right? So, yeah, that's definitely something that as a copywriter I've noticed in the briefs that I guess I receive, and it's something that I have to be a lot more conscious of when I'm delivering copy that is, you know, its main purpose is for SEO.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm lucky to work with great digital marketers like yourself who give me excellent briefs and make my job a lot easier. But, you know, I guess well, what about in terms of local, you know, helping businesses really dominate their local area? I mean, what's sort of important for you in terms of making sure that your clients are ranking as high as possible in the really local searches? So, you know, if we're talking South Melbourne, making sure you're at the top of the South Melbourne search for your industry, or if you're out in Malvern, making sure you're at the top of Malvern. What's sort of really important there to achieving that goal?
Yeah, so I think, again, the past few years have, and particularly in areas like Melbourne, where we had to be restricted within our 5K, that has changed the consumer behavior. And even now across the world, a lot of people are not going back to their offices. So in the past, people didn't really care, so they would drive to go somewhere, or, you know, if they work at one place and they live somewhere else, they can go somewhere else, you know, they can go to the doctor on their way home. But now that behavior has changed, and people are, I don't know if we've become really lazy or we've become really comfortable within our spaces, where I really don't want to drive more than 5 or 10 kilometers around my area, because I'm like, I'll just find someone local. And particularly with industries like the trades, for example, where there is a call-up fee that you have to pay to your removalist or, you know, mechanic, you don't have to do that anymore, because you simply just look at the suburbs around you and be like, oh, okay, this is a close suburb, then it will probably be cheaper. Because, again, we are more conscious of what we're spending, and we really just want to be comfortable, particularly that a lot of companies are on a hybrid mission where you work from home or you can come to the office twice a week. So that's why it's very important for businesses to think about that, and particularly businesses that depend on their locals. So whether you're in the allied health industry, you're a tradie, you're a mechanic, hairdresser, everything that really relates on people living around you, need to nail that local position. And you can see that Google has started doing a lot of work and focus on the local market, not just through you know, the rankings on the first 3, 4, 10 positions on the first page, but it's also with the maps. So whatever we used to call Google My Business page, it has changed into Google Business Profile. There are lots of other opportunities that you can use through that profile, where you can add your images, you can get your reviews, and that's very important, because at the end of the day, when I'm looking within my 10K radius, I really want to go and pick the best. Someone who has reviews, people are saying good things about them. Someone who updates frequently their page, where they, if they have any update, they will post it out there. I genuinely look at restaurants and make a decision whether to go to that place or not based on their Google My Business page or Google Business Profile. Because first of all, I will know when they're open. I'll check their menu. I will check the pictures of the food, and I will read the reviews.
And it's super annoying when you look at a restaurant and they haven't put their menu on that page. It's 100%. Like, I now have to go to like 6 different websites to maybe see a really low res photo of what that menu is, right? So it is something that I think, you know, if you think about how you, well, I mean, how we're talking about how we use Google, the business profiles. And it's interesting that the way that businesses are ranked on Google My Business isn't the same as how they're ranked in the actual in the search results page, yeah. right? So, I mean, what sort of influences that? Is the amount of times that you're posting, or how do you sort of influence that?
There are different factors, but obviously the number one factor is how many reviews you have, yeah. how active you are on that page, meaning how good your profile looks, how mm-hmm. many posts do you post a week, how many menus and pictures of the menus you have. Mm. And then it's exactly what you said. The other factor is how close they are to your location, because sure. that is Google will definitely always want to give you the best result for yep. you to pick and go. Yep. So definitely the reviews, even if you, and that's another thing that I keep telling my clients, even if you get a bad review, just respond to it.
Yeah.
No business is perfect. You yeah. will get a bad review. Someone must have had a bad day. You had a bad day.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're showing people that, you know what, yeah, we messed up,
mm.
but we're responding
yeah.
and we care about our business. And that's important because a lot of people are scared, but that's your number one priority as a business, is to get as many reviews as you can.
Yeah.
And there are so many creative ways. One of them is actually one of our mutual clients where they yeah. created this competition and they got so many good, amazing reviews, and it's all legit, because I think as humans, we only think of writing a review when we've had a bad experience.
Yeah.
But when you have this great, awesome experience, you talk about it, yeah. but you don't go and write it down. So I think those are important factors. And the other factor as well that plays a part is within Google Business Profile, you can choose the areas that you service. So yeah. that's a new thing. You can choose up to, I think, 20 suburbs.
Yeah.
And you can list your services. So that also helps with the search. So back in the day, we used to do dodgy stuff where we would just put the keyword, the main keyword next to the name. But now you don't have to
yeah.
because it's part of the service. And an interesting part is, if people review you, Google will look at the reviews, and whatever they are writing about you, let's say in my case, SEO, Google Ads, social media marketing,
they will
figure it out. And when people are searching for you in your area,
mm.
you will come up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the important bit of it.
And in terms, so that's, I guess, the profiles, the Google Business Profiles side of it. But then when it comes to, you know, improving your ranking on the search result page, you've obviously sort of touched on that content's sort of 100%. Important. What are you looking for in terms of the content for those sort of businesses looking to dominate their local space?
So again, it's all about the quality content, answering people's questions. And because you service this local area, you know what questions they might have. It has to mention the suburb, because people need to know that you actually know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you know their behavior, you're an expert in that local area of yours. So that's very important to add within, you know, the content. And we always recommend having a landing page with a title that has the name of the suburb in it, and also information about that particular suburb as well. So again, not overdo it, because it's important that it adds value to people. But at the same time, you need to show people that you know what you're talking about, and you know your area, and you know their behavior. You need to build that trust with that content. And, you know, you and I, we've seen amazing results. You want to tell us more about that panel beater?
Yeah, so very local to here, actually.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting case study where a client had come to me with some concerns of competitors really trying to outrank them in their own suburb, using their business name essentially it was weird. There was some competitors that were like trying to pass off as them, but also criticize them on the same page, and it was a bit confusing. But whatever they were doing was sort of ranking them, you know, top of those pages. So, you know, I took this issue to Al J, being my SEO expert, you know, we were able to, I guess, devise a content plan. And some really solid briefs for what those home pages should look like. I mean, obviously, our client's website was a bit of a mess.
Oh, my God.
There was a bit of work that went into getting that website to a point where Google would actually rank it, because obviously user experience is super important as well as all the other stuff we've sort of talked about. But, you know, we were able to take, I guess, the 100-plus Google reviews, make sure that was integrated onto into the website copy, making sure that the copy on the homepage really spoke to the user intent of people mm-hmm. who might be looking for a panel beater in the local area that they service. And yeah, it was surprise. I mean, we always like to be a bit conservative with the timelines yes. we give our clients, but we got this one sort of ranking in the top three relatively quickly and probably in a matter of, what, 2 months over the sort of Christmas period or just after Christmas. Yep. And, now they're number one for their, you know, their local search. And the clients, you know, now worry that maybe they'll be too busy or they've got no space for cars. But, you know, that's probably not a bad problem to have. So, I think that was a really good case study of, you know, taking your SEO expertise and then you being able to give a really guided sort of brief as to what does this page need to be number one for their local search, coupled with what they're doing with their Google Business Profile, and an example where we were able to have some good success.
Yeah.
But it's really speaking to, I guess, that collaboration between the SEO aspect of digital marketing with the content aspect of digital marketing and really making sure that if you're engaging in digital marketing, making sure you've got either a business that has all of that in-house or you're working with two professionals who really understand those two separate pieces really well and are able to work together to deliver that great result.
100%.
Yeah, so that was sort of an interesting case study. I mean, we're doing something similar with a mortgage broker.
Yeah,
we've got the toll shop that we've referenced as well. So yeah, it's sort of and with the toll shop, you know, that's probably another interesting example from the point of it started as really trying to dominate a local search, but because of the success that we've had,
that's there,
we've
been able Melbourne.
To extrapolate that to the wider Melbourne searches. So perhaps Aljo, you can talk about how once you've had that, I guess, that local base to build from, how you take that next step and start to rank for other areas that you might service outside of where the physical location might be.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we always tell our clients. So when you have local search, usually you don't have a lot of searches happening. And the reason why it's important, because you need people to be searching for your services in big quantities in order for them to visit the website and eventually convert. And, you know, conversion rates can be really low, can be between like 1-3%. So from an SEO point of view, we want to get more traffic to your website. We want to make sure that your website has all the information, relevant information, and it's, people, when they get onto it, they have a great user journey. And then eventually we hope that they will convert, which in a lot of cases they do. And, you know, you get yourself a lead. Mm. So we always start with the local suburbs because that's where people are looking for. And usually you rank easier because there's less competition. But then when you go broader, for example, Melbourne, you're competing against thousands of other tile shops in Melbourne.
Yeah.
But that buildup of authority and that buildup of regular visits and regular conversions, that will give Google, you know, ideas that this is a good website. It deserves to rank on the bigger keywords.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, one of the things could be having Melbourne as a main keyword for the homepage, but create different landing pages for the local suburbs. So that way you wouldn't really confuse Google and you will get great results. And, you know, as you said, it was fairly quick for the panel beater shop, but then for the tile shop, it took us a few months to get to Melbourne.
Yeah.
So we did get their local suburb pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I think it was within 2-3 months.
Yeah.
But then to get to wider Melbourne, it took us around 8 months. And that was the last conversation we had with the client who was really happy to see their name on the top page. I think it was second position for Melbourne wide. So, yeah, it's fairly important that you control your local area first and then expand.
Yeah, awesome. So obviously we get a lot of questions from clients, from prospects around, the role of local SEO in marketing their business. So we'll probably finish the podcast with some of the common questions that we get. I mean, you sort of have touched on this aspect of how local SEO has changed in the last 5 years, particularly from a consumer behavior point of view. But what have the main changes Google has made in that local space?
I think as we said before, Google are smart. They want to give you the best result for your search query. So mainly focusing on the Google Business Profile and becoming very important as part of a ranking factor as well. The other one is having really great content on the landing pages that relates to the suburb that you live in. Mm. And I would say the third one is probably just, again, going back to the reviews, you need good reviews, people talking about yourself and your service, and those three has become really important ranking factors for any local SEO campaign.
Yeah, and then I guess that leads into the final question, which was, you know, we've mentioned that they are important, but how important, you know, are the Google reviews to ranking highly in the profile aspect of its Google search, but also the actual search results?
So to be honest, 93% of people will make a purchase decision based on the reviews they read of a particular product, company, or even service.
Yeah.
So if you don't get your reviews and your competitors are working hard on getting those, believe me, even if you're ranking, and let's say like the panel beater shop, they had 100 plus reviews or 5-star reviews.
Definitely
versus someone
yeah,
that has 5,
yeah,
then that's your takeaway.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why you need to work on your reviews, because that's the representation of your service online.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, Aljay, thanks for your time and your expertise in this space.
Thank you, Matt.
That'll wrap up episode 2 of the Marketing Munchies. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with a new episode.